This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. Before we get into our special guest today, we have a lot to cover in Bachelor Nation. A lot's been happening these last couple weeks, so let's jump into it. First of all, probably the biggest, well, by far, the biggest thing to happen, Michelle and Nate breaking up.
Does that surprise you?
It doesn't, just because we've been hearing grumblings over the last few weeks. Had this suddenly dropped out of nowhere a month ago? Yeah, I think I would have been pretty shocked. But the last few weeks, we've heard some rumblings. You know, I've heard some just from being in Bachelor Nation from some people that, you know, some things haven't been, you know, quite what they had hoped or whatever, however you want to, you know, word that. But it's sad, man, because I genuinely think... So what sucks is I didn't see a lot of this season.
That's right.
I was away filming All-Star Shore. So I didn't get to see it as it happened live. Like, I didn't see the final. I didn't see any of that. So I've just seen what you can from podcasts and recaps and from just their following both of them. Mm-hmm. And they seem genuinely happy and excited about the future. So it's sad. And I, you know, you hate to see a couple like that who seem to be in good standing and everything and a bright future.
I hope the speculations are kind. Bullshit or truth or whatever it might be.
Exactly. I mean, now there's just, this is what happens. Public relationships, yeah. Right? It's always one person's fault over the other. It's always blah, 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 blah. He didn't move. She was too busy blah, blah, teaching, blah, blah, blah. I've seen him out at bars, whatever it is. Like, it's all bullshit in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The only real people that know are Nate and Michelle. The people close to them don't know. So like if I had talked to them, I'd just be like, ignore the noise. And I'm a little worried because I saw Nate kind of tweeted something, and maybe, you know, this might start getting to him because people are obviously, the thing with the lead, right? Nobody wanted to see Nate find happiness. Everybody wanted to see Michelle find happiness. Yeah. So immediately when they break up, it's Nate's fault. You know what I mean?
Nate did something, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's all bullshit, you know? And honestly, I was going to say, we'll never know the truth. I don't want to know the truth. You know what I mean? Like, it's none of our business.
There's always two sides to every story.
Exactly. And people can say what they want, but clearly from what I've seen from the breakup, from both of their statements, whatever it is, seems like they're both pretty heartbroken about it, but they just knew it wasn't going to work. They care for each other and they wish each other the best. Like, it doesn't seem like this was a messy, ugly breakup, which is good because those are bad.
What I want to know is, because it was the first time ever in show history, they got a financial bonus.
Oh,
what happens
to
that down payment?
Holy shit.
Did that already get cashed? How do you pay that back if you spent that?
Oh my God, I forgot about that. They gave them a house payment.
It was like 150K. Oh, it's
250. Ooh,
that's right. It was a quarter mil.
And now what do they do moving forward? Clayton didn't get that. You know what? That's so,
because that's more than a Neil Lane
way
ring.
More.
and you have to give that back if you don't stay together, or like there's a certain time frame, right, where you have to get that back.
I don't know how that works. I mean, my guess is, honestly, Michelle will probably just pocket or, you know, keep that for a down payment. Like, I don't see them taking that back. That was just such a weird move by production. Yeah. I will never understand that. It was so weird.
So do they just prorate that out of her salary on the podcast now? Or
yeah, they ain't getting paid that. I promise.
Is she not working? Well, is she working for free for the next little
For the next 5 years? Yeah, the next 5 years.
Oh, no. It is sad. 6 months, because, probably.
Yeah. It is sad because, like, they had everything going for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They really, really did. So it just must've been so obvious to one or both of them that it wasn't going to work. And in that sense, it's really sad. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what happens at 250. I don't see the show ever, ever doing that again. That was so bizarre. But yeah, again, you know, unfortunately another relationship that didn't work out. We haven't had, I thought about this the other day, right? We've had some couples that are together still. But we haven't had an F1 work with their lead Rachel.
All couples are paradise couples.
Yeah, Rachel Lindsay is the last one to marry their lead. So, or their F1, if you will. So pretty crazy. It's been unfortunately a streak of bad luck. And, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's not, you know, Michelle's, Nate's. It's not the show's even, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sometimes
real life
work
has
out.
To happen off camera.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised they didn't last fucking, you know, longer than like 6 months or whatever it's been. Like, that's a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Like a really big shock, actually. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it does work. Obviously, Tia found her fiance off the show. But big announcement, you know, Tia pregnant. Shocked. I did not hear rumblings of this. Nobody knew this was happening. I was shocked, dude. I literally was at my dad's last night and it popped up like a whatever, like her picture, and I jumped up. I was like, what the fuck? Tia's pregnant. So I was shocked by this 100%.
Yeah, what's going on in Nashville? Like,
dude, yeah. I mean, we had Jen Sav.
Jen Sav and Tia pregnant, are like best friends. They're really close. Like, did Tia both get a little jealous? Like, or catch that baby fever? Like, oh, saw how happy Jen was. Like,
yeah, they both. She's at the age. It was like all happened really fast. I think that happens when you get a little older. It's like, I know what I want. I want him engaged. You know, I want baby. Pregnant. So I mean, I'm happy for him, good for her, she knows what she wants.
So happy,
and they
for
seem
her.
So happy. And he seems like an awesome guy. I haven't met him in person yet, but he seems like an awesome dude, and they have the very similar personalities and they just seem great together. So, and she's a little cougar. She's a cougar. He's like 25 26, like he's young. So they seem great and happy for her. Congrats on another Bachelor Nation. Well, I guess not technically a Bachelor Nation baby because he's not from Bachelor Nation, but
that's awesome. Half nation.
Yeah, exactly. So excited for her and him and them. Anything else in Bachelor Nation? I guess we haven't really had a chance to talk about Becca and Thomas. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. We haven't done a banter.
What an interesting scenario.
That was another
shock. How that was played out.
I had heard rumblings that Thomas was maybe going to do it. So when I first saw the headlines, I just assumed it was Thomas proposing to her. But no, she took it upon herself. And the crazy part is their interview, like he did not know. Like, this was a complete surprise. He was shocked when she proposed, which is pretty cool. But happy for them.
And knowing
they're both
them,
cool, awesome people.
Knowing them now together and for a little bit of time they've been together, it's kind of on brand for them because they're a little kooky.
Yeah.
Like, they have their own ways of doing everything. Like, so it's not really surprising that she did do that.
No, and like, I agree. And like, I get it too. She's been proposed to twice and it didn't work out and in utter flames. You know what I mean? So I think it's pretty cool. She was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it this time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to put it on my
maybe
time.
Change the luck. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe it's just like roll,
you know,
reverse.
First times, yeah. Instead of third time's a charm, it's like first time me proposing. It's going to work. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. So happy for them.
And what about the name situation? Like, that's another
shocked, but like that's actually pretty normal these days. I think the hyphen or whatever it is, dash, whatever you want to call it, hyphenated last names, I think it's pretty normal. I'm with Becca. I mean, that's kind of her brand, you know what I mean? So I'm not shocked by that at all. But pretty cool. Yeah, happy for them. What else?
I mean, there has been a lot of tea spilt a little bit on the new Paradise season already being so short in.
Yeah,
how
I mean, listen,
wild
we
is this season going to be?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't know what's right, what's wrong. Everybody's fucking sending in crazy DMs of people that's there, people that's not there. Who knows? But I will say from what we have heard personally from the mouth of people that have come back, there's a lot happening down there really fast and a lot of very angry people, very upset people. people who are terrified of what's going to happen. So yeah, I mean, it just sounds like a mess down there, but every fucking season, right? It seems like it sounds like a mess. So we'll see. Unfortunately, we have to wait 4 months, you know, 3-4 months until Paradise airs. And it'll get lost for a long time because we're going to have our Gabby and Rachel season coming up. So people are going to forget about Paradise, and it's going to be really interesting.
And I I think you and I were talking while we were in New York this past week. It's going to be hard for the couples.
To stay secret.
To stay secret, or even to make it to September. Like some of these couples will probably be over before the show starts or airs.
Before the reunion, you know? Yeah. The reunion's going to be November. So you're right. Like, it's going to be hard for them. And to that point, it's hard for it to work when you're trying to stay incredibly private. Like, it is hard to stay incredibly private and live a normal life.
Because what would, like your Paradise turnaround was, 4 weeks?
Yeah, it was about four or five weeks. Yeah, my Paradise tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard for this season. Yeah, and this cast.
Yeah, agreed. It's going to be at 3 months about. And plus the actual airing, so they have to keep it a secret. So it's going to be 4 or 5 months. They got to keep this a secret. So that is going to be hard on the relationships. I really do believe that. It sounds like from some, you know, what we've heard, there are going to be one or two engagements. We shall see. Never really
still
know.
Super early down there.
It is still super early. But sounds like there's a lot of flip-flopping, but who knows? Honestly, I haven't been paying attention to spoilers with Gabby and Rachel season at all. I know nothing.
I know nothing on that.
I know nothing on that.
Know everything about Paradise.
Yeah, I know. And that's because we know people for that. So, but I haven't heard anything about, you know, about Gabby and Rachel. I feel like they've been able to keep that pretty quiet. But even for them, they have to wait a long time too until that season airs, right? They've been back for 2 weeks, so they have to wait about two months. I waited 2 weeks before my bachelorette season started when I got back. So pretty crazy.
Exactly 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Today.
So it'll be about 4 to 6 weeks from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
And I guess that's what we've been up to, what you've been over the place this past weekend, New York, Cleveland, Columbus.
Yeah, shout out to Rowdy Energy. They threw an amazing event out there in New York. Me, Camille, and Yeager, we all were out there.
Gronk.
Yeah, we were all out there doing a fun fitness class, you know, introducing the new Power Burn Rowdy Energy drink. So go check it out, guys. It's awesome. I absolutely love it. Zero sugar out there, as well as burns 135 calories per can, metabolic burn, you know, so it's pretty cool. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And we're gonna do a lot more fun things with Rowdy as a podcast and me as a person. So shout out to Rowdy through an awesome event. Honestly, the best food I've ever had at an event. Like, they did not mind, you know, they put some expense into this, because I sat there and ate the ahi tuna until my stomach hurt, and the fucking teriyaki chicken. It was amazing. Sushi, top to bottom. It was an awesome event. So shout out to Rowdy. We'll be dealing with Rowdy here in this next weekend. And like I said, some more news to come with the podcast and everything. So awesome brand. Yes, great people.
Since you brought it up. Yeah. We'll be doing some stuff in Nashville this upcoming weekend.
Yeah. Super excited.
With Rowdy starting Saturday, Sunday, trying to figure out details, but we'll announce that once maybe we get some more details. Yep. And then obviously exciting next Tuesday with Cole Swindell. We'll definitely throw the link up. I'll probably give away a signed Cole Swindell CD this week for some winners, but we'll throw the link up where you can go register, come catch Blake open for Cole next Tuesday at a private Pandora Ashley Furniture event.
Yeah, shout out to Ashley Furniture and Pandora for having me out. It's going to be a really fun event. Unfortunately, it is a private event, so you can't just buy tickets, but we are going to be giving away some tickets, and Ashley and Pandora is going to be giving away some tickets. So keep an eye out to podcast page as well as my page. We're going to, you know, you can enter to win kind of events. So, it's going to be really fun, really fun. I'm excited to open for Cole. It's going to be a really fun time in Nashville. And then shout out real quick to Columbus, to Gallup Park Steakout in Columbus this last weekend, as well as Ivy. Club out there in Cleveland. Amazing turnout. It was so much fun. I'm gonna tell you what, Ohio knows how to party. I was out in Columbus. It turned out it was the same day as the Pride Parade. So the night before was absolutely insane. Friday night, it was absolutely crazy. So much fun. And then Ivy just held, you know, Cleveland's a good time every time I go to Cleveland. So pretty awesome weekend. And then
also we got to catch up with some of the boys out in New York.
Yep. I got with Jason. Evan, Clay, Dr. Joe, Dustin, and we actually quite a few people we hung out with.
A lot of people came out to support the event.
Yeah, it was really cool. Shout out to them for all coming out and supporting the event. We had, had some drinks and caught up afterwards. Really good time for sure. New York's always fun. There's always, there's so many damn bachelor people in New York. So it's always fun to go and get out there any chance we get. I think, are we, can we touch on the 4th of July yet? We can.
Yeah, announce it. Yeah. Vegas, baby.
Super excited, guys. I'm going to post this here really soon too, but Vegas did post it. My first headlining gig in Vegas, 4th of July weekend, guys. I'm playing Virgin Hotel pool party headlining at the Elias Day Club. I'm so excited. Like, I can't even, you know, 4th of July weekend, huge weekend out there in Vegas. Super, super pumped. So if you're in Vegas, you have nothing, or if you're even around Vegas, or if you have nothing to do, 4th of July weekend, come on out to Vegas, guys. It's going to be a blast. We're going to put on a hell of a show there. Yeah, I'm super, super pumped. July 3rd, that Sunday.
Do you ever think it would read Snoop Dogg Saturday, Blake Horseman Sunday?
Yee yee, baby, baby. Same stage, day later. Snoop Dogg, 4th of July weekend. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a good time. And we're going to sneak. We're definitely going to go see Snoop. So,
oh, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
We get in early Saturday. We're definitely going to go down there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So shout out to Virgin Hotel out there in Vegas. It's going to be a fun night. Fun day, I should say. So, yeah, come on out 4th of July weekend, guys. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Pretty much it. Appreciate you guys listening. And up next, guys, special guest Hunter from KD Season. We got an awesome interview with them, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
We got a good friend of ours on the pod today. You guys will know him now in Bachelor Nation. Hunter, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, glad to be here, man. Long time coming.
I know. I was going to say, man, you don't do many podcasts or anything really, do you?
No, I don't.
Which I respect. I guess
it's important, though, to make sure we signify the Hunter, right? Because we've had a few mishaps already with that name, right? Now that we've got two Hunters in the alumni.
Dude, I know. I hate now when like people say Blake and I think it's me and it's Moines now. I'm like, damn it. You know, like, so I hear you, man. There's a lot of Blakes now in there too. So, yeah, let's get into kind of like, you know, how people would know you and everything. Cause I mean, there's a lot to your story that I think people don't understand, obviously. And we like the reason, you know, we bring people on the show or on our podcast from the show too, is especially to get their side of things, just because even if you go on other podcasts, sometimes they don't ask the right questions. But listen, I've been there. You know what I mean? I've done all of that, man. So first question I want to ask, man, how did you get on the show? Like, how did you get on your season of The Bachelor?
Yeah. It's very similar to some of the other people and that got on the show. I got an Instagram message from a producer. I actually thought it was fake. I thought someone was just messing with me and I told him like, yeah, right. And then eventually, like, she gave me a number to call and I called and it was, sure enough, it was
real.
It was them. So I think at first it was like, it was kind of a, you know, this is awesome that y'all are asking, but the stars would really have to align for this to work out. But it did. And I, you know, the process was a little bit long, obviously, as you know, but then a few months later, there I was. So yeah. It all happened kind of quick.
Yeah. So just kind of everything lined up for you, right? Like the right time of your life, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because I had come off of I got divorced during COVID. And I have two kids, I have a career. So when it first came up, it was like, there's no way, like, there's no way this is happening. There's no way this could happen. But it was kind of a situation where everyone, when we went through COVID, it really changed the way we thought about things. And I had just been through a lot of, I guess, chaos and turmoil, so to speak. And I thought, why not? Like, if the stars do align, so to speak, let's do it. So.
Yeah. Wow. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about your story that I think a lot of people don't know is, like, you know, sometimes there's people on this show that are like, they just want, you know, they don't really, maybe they're bored or whatever it is. And like, they're like, you know, yeah, make some extra money, have some fun. But for you, this is a big decision for you. You have a lot going on in your life. Like, this wasn't a, oh, give it a shot kind of thing. Like, this is a big decision for you.
Yeah. And actually it was, it's interesting because, as you're probably aware, like, I'm a fan of the show. Right. So I thought I knew what was at stake. Right. And what this actually meant. It was a lot to consider leaving my kids for that long. With my work and my company where I was, you know, they were supportive, but leaving the kids was something that was kind of that was the biggest part of this decision. Right. And I don't regret the decision, but that was the hardest part of the whole experience. So.
No, I hear you. And that's funny, because that wasn't, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't like part of your story on the show. You know what I mean? They didn't, like, it was almost like a lot of people didn't even freaking know you had kids. You know what I mean? Like, it was.
Yeah. Kind of, well, you know this. They have, you know, the producers have their arcs, and they can kind of do what they want with these stories, and they could have made me look completely different. They could have made me look way worse. I think there are people on the show that came out looking like, you know, America's finest, that they probably could have made into villains. But at the end of the day, I don't, you know, the people that matter in my life, and they know my story. They know that I am a dad, and they know the important parts. I wish it would have been shown more, but it is what it is. That's part of the whole process.
Yeah, like, you could have just as easy gotten a Michael A edit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's fucking crazy.
You know, it's funny. I talked to Uncle Mike about that, right? It's interesting because he's a phenomenal human. One of my mm-hmm. best friends. I love the guy so much. We used to have, we called our dirt road talks when we were filming, because we're the old man on the show.
Right.
But it's interesting because it's like, you could paint this picture of this guy that's in recovery, 15 years sober. He's, you know, he's a dad. He helps in the mental health community, all these things, but they chose not to do that. Right. And that's okay. I think that's their power. Right. And mm-hmm. when you think about watching the show as a fan, it really opened my eyes, because watching the show as a fan, I always had these preconceived, you know, notions that I've formed from just these edits. And it really opened my eyes to the fact that everyone that goes on these shows are humans, and they're people, and we don't know them. I even mm-hmm. talked to, when my girlfriend and I watch the show, even today, or other reality shows, like, I'll watch these Netflix shows and I'll catch myself being like, I hate this guy. And I'm like, wait, I don't hate this guy. Yep. I hate this guy's edit. Right. Yep. So it does open your eyes to reality, the reality of it all.
And it's, also, that's so true. Yeah.
Also, a piece of your story that I feel like wasn't really touched on was your battle with sobriety and Tourette's.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think with the sobriety stuff, it's interesting. I talked a lot about recovery and, like, connected with a lot of the guys in the show. And that was a big part of what I talked about while I was there, but it didn't really get shown at all. I think the Tourette stuff, it got shown. It just really didn't get explained. And that's okay. I think I had a lot of outreach during the show from parents of kids that have Tourette's, and I kind of brought it to light and explained a lot of that during airing. And I think it helped a lot of people out there that struggle with this, because it's a lot more common than you think. And it can be very debilitating, especially for young people, right? Because you feel like you're not normal, and you feel out of place, and you sometimes can get made fun of and stuff like that. So the Tourette's is something that I've learned to really live with. And I hope the message that I get out there is just that if you have this, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's just one of your things. We all have our things.
Yeah, that's really, and it's cool that, like, even the little bit you did talk about it, or they showed it, I should say, not the little bit you talked about, but the little bit they showed did touch some people. And that's pretty cool. And I think that's a cool thing about this show. You know, sometimes I go back and forth about this show, because, like, and one aspect, I want it to be a lighthearted, entertaining show, right? But then on the other aspect, I'm like, they can change, you know, a lot, and they can make an impact on so many people's lives mm-hmm. by talking about serious conversations, things like that. So it's like, and I think that's what the show's having trouble with, is like kind of defining what it is. Like sometimes they have these super serious conversations. The other time they're like showing people topless playing volleyball. You know, it's like, what are we here? Like, where
well,
are
and,
we?
Yeah. And like the point about Michael A, like, I think they did a fantastic job of showing that like people lose significant others and cancer is a real thing. And it's a thing that we go through in real life, and you can, you know, move on and have a life after that. So I think they do that. They could probably do it more, right? Mm-hmm. I think some of the drama could be replaced, but also America loves drama. I mean, the fan in me has to admit that
I know
America loves drama.
We yeah. love it. And I always look at it, you know what I look at it now, and a friend of mine, I'm not gonna say who, but a friend of mine kind of talked to him, he's in Bachelor Nation and everything. He's like, man, basically what it is now, it's the WWE. You know what I mean? He's like, basically they create these storylines, and it's pretty much created before you step down on that beach. There are obviously things you can do to either, you know, make it worse or better, but like they have it created. And it's just like us as audience, like, do we realize that watching, like, you know, like you said, like now you watch it differently. And I think slowly a lot of people are starting to watch it differently, but there still are people. I got a somebody just fucking random, you know, hater started commenting on all my photos today about how much piece of shit I like out of nowhere, man. And like how like a mediocre kid, I know. And like how embarrassing it is about this new show. And I'm just like, what? Like, you're crazy. Like, it's just the people like that exist, and they watch these shows and they think everything is so, so, so real. But I think that's why podcasts like this and interviews like yours are so important, because it you could show these people, like, you know, it's not always who we are as people, you know, these edits.
But that person would be the first one to hop on a show if they get we're given the opportunity.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, and also if that person saw you in real life,
yeah,
they would probably go up to you and hug you.
Oh, yeah. And take a picture, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's,
and
like, yeah. That's usually, you know, it's like a lot of times I should not have read Twitter. I should not have read the comments. I should not have read the DMs. But sometimes I would call these people out in a positive way and just be like, hey, like, why do you feel this way?
Who about hurt you?
When you call them out, when you shine the light on them, they go, oh, wait, I was just, you know, messing around.
Yeah.
So I've gotten a lot better at not paying attention to that stuff, right? And that's kind of the direction I've taken as a whole. Don't get me wrong, like getting a little shot of semi-fame for a little bit was great, because I'm a person that unfortunately craves that validation. And that's one of my struggles and one of my issues. But I'm really trying to step away from it, because I have kids that love me. I have a wonderful girlfriend and family. I have a career. I have things that should be giving me that validation. So when you say like, hey, you haven't been doing podcasts and stuff, like, I think for me, like, I'm in a different place than some of the other, like some of my castmates that are younger guys, single, milk it, go do the tours, go on the trips. I think that's awesome. But for me, I'm in a different place, right? And I'm finally getting comfortable with not worrying about my following count and not worrying about a lot of that stuff. And it's probably pretty healthy for me.
No, absolutely. And I kind of want to get into that, because, you know, you did face some criticism throughout the show and everything like that because of the edit and everything. How did you deal with that? Obviously, you said you did a good, everybody does, right? Everybody looks at Twitter and stuff, and you take to heart some of the negative things more than the positive. That's just the way it is. You know, I've been there. So what else did you do? Because I know, you know, I've already got contacted by a few people from Paradise this year, and a lot of, they're hurting and they're scared and they're terrified and of what's going to happen. So like, what kind of advice would you give somebody coming off the show who might face some criticism? Like, what kind of advice would you give?
Here's the thing. No matter what production tells you is going to happen, no matter what edit you think you're going to get, you can't change it and you can't fix it and you can't control what the viewers think. I think at the end of the day, this audience, while I love them, I love Bachelor Nation, even though they're mean sometimes, they have a very short attention span, and they get over stuff and they find a new kid to pick on or a new shiny object to follow. And so that stuff is short lived. And I have to really focus on my advice here and say that, like, it's hard to see some of that stuff. And it can also be very validating to see some of the good stuff, but do not let it get to your head either way. Don't let it get to your head and make you think that you're Brad Pitt or whoever you, and don't let it turn you into a monster. Think that you're a monster because you're not, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you got to understand that that stuff is short-lived, and you also, you signed up for it. So you got to be ready. Expect the worst. Mm-hmm. I know that's a negative thing to say, but really, like, the way the production is, you don't know what's going to happen. No one does. In fact, I don't even know if production knows. Sometimes I feel like they do some of these post-filming tours, and then they change edits even more after that based on audience and Instagram and things like that. So you really can't focus on it because you can't control it. And trust me, it was hard to take my own advice during that time.
We'll be right back.
I always say something. I can't remember who told me. It might have been Ben Higgins, but he basically said, like, if you believe all the good, then you have to believe all the bad. So it's like, just right. Don't believe any of it. Like, you know, if people are worshiping you, don't believe it. If people hate you, don't believe it. You know what I mean? So that's like, I think that's like basically what you just said. And I think that's really important because, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, sometimes I would almost seek out the negative in a bad way. You know, that's like something I did. And you know, that, like you said, it's hard to take your own advice sometimes. It's really, really hard.
Well, it's kind of like Yelp reviews. Like, you never see like that many great Yelp reviews. You see like terrible ones and people talking really bad about things. And so you really can't focus on that. The other thing that I did is I really tried to lean on some of my other strong friendships that I'd made from the show. You know, like when we were going through this stuff, even people like Connor, Mikey, like everyone was getting hate, right? And so we would kind of bounce things off each other and just remind each other, hey, that's not you. You know, that stuff's not true. And it really doesn't matter. Like, look at the folks who are saying the bad stuff, and it'll probably remind you that it really doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice. And obviously, you know, it's worked out for you. You're in a great place. And you found a lady friend, haven't you?
I have. And I think you're very familiar. Hey,
no matter what, I'm going to take credit of it for this. Cause I looked at Blake after this moment. I was like, dude, I'm really super embarrassed about this, but I think that's Hunter and Connor that just walked right by us on the street.
Yeah.
And that's what teed up you coming to Blended Fest, all you boys.
You know what? It's shocking to me that I, being the fan that I am, wasn't like, oh my God, Connor, that's Blake.
We talk about it all the time because, like, I watch reality TV a lot, but I'm horrible with face recognition. So I feel like if I saw somebody I knew, I wouldn't really know it's them. Like, it would take all the screaming girls around me for me to realize like something's up. And that's essentially what happened the night we met, where I was like, there's people here that like people know.
It's funny because the reason that I actually liked her. So we, you know, you and I saw each other that day, Blake, on the street. Eric recognized us. Y'all gave us passes of Blended. We went to your after show, and she was there for some other DJ show, right?
That
was
yeah.
So she kind of
didn't even know I was DJing.
She kind of hung out there.
I just was already in the little section, and then I got, you know, my ego got in the way, and like
the thing that I liked about her most is that, you know, she eventually like had talked to some of the guys and was just hanging out, about to leave. She sits down, and she was like, pretty much like, look, I don't know who y'all are. I don't really care. And I was like, tell me more. Like, you know, like finally someone that doesn't, you know, isn't focused on us because we were on TV.
I imagine it's like when you live in LA, like Austin is kind of like LA now, where it's like, all right, there's random people coming into the city all the time. And at that point I was already kind of, I had been in Austin for almost 2 years, and I was like, God, I'm so over this city. I just want to like hang out with my friends. And I was like with my friends having a good time. And the bouncers start like kicking girls out left and right. I'm like, no, not me.
That was actually probably me.
Yeah, Eric for sure is always going to be like, get the fuck out. I don't know you. Get the fuck out.
I remember his James, I think, was his name. I don't remember. I know him from the bar.
No, it was your guy that helps you in different cities with restaurants and stuff, not Josh.
Oh yeah, Josh.
Josh.
Yeah, good old Josh.
I was hanging out with Josh. Josh was cool. Josh was chill.
That was the main.
Somebody else was like kicking people out. And I was like, hey, Josh, like, I can leave. Like, I came up to him and was like, look, I don't know who's here. I'll leave. My ego can't stand like actually being kicked out of this section.
I'll leave on my own. I'll quit before you can fire me.
I went up to him, I was like, look, I can go. I was like, I was having a good time just hanging out, but like, I can go if y'all don't want me here. And Josh was like, no, like, you and like, who are your friends? And like, my friends were on stage as you were switching out. I was like, my two girlfriends are up there. And he was like, y'all just stay. You're good. It's fine. And like, that's how I guess Hunter and I ended up meeting.
So thank you, Blake. Yeah.
Well, and the best part is like, I remember you shuffling at Blended, and you're a hella good shuffler. Like, I remember being like, damn, that girl is really good at dancing. I was like, damn, that girl can dance.
Well, we were just,
so I remember you there.
I think it was the TikToker in me was like, this girl knows how to shuffle.
Yeah, sure, shuffle is out of control.
I'm not on TikTok at all. I just like to dance. I've danced my whole life.
And it was so funny because like when we were just in Houston, we pieced it together. We're like, that was the one dancing with Josh shuffling for like 45 minutes.
You were shuffled for 45 minutes. I was like, she's got to be so tired. Like, you were going.
But
non-stop.
I remember your calves, like your legs, you're like built like a thoroughbred.
It was crazy to watch. I was like, this girl's been going.
For the folks that are just listening to the audio of this podcast, they have to be like, what is this girl? Like? What does this girl look like? She's got to be bigger than the Short King, right?
Like, the Short King.
Hunter way out kicked this coverage.
I did.
So how long you guys been together now, roughly?
9 months today, actually.
Yeah, today, 9 months.
So wait, you guys basically from Blended Austin, you guys started literally seeing each other.
Wow. The next week. So like, I was really spooked. I always joke around with Hunter that like, he was like love bombing me. Cause like, I had been in Austin. I too am divorced. So we divorced around the same time. And like, I was living in Houston, left to Austin shortly after my divorce and was like trying to relive my 20s and was like, yeah, I'm going to live in a cool city and do the cool single girl thing. And when Hunter and I met, we actually connected really quickly on just like kind of like the culture of dating. And we were like, God, dating is just so exhausting. And I had dealt with a lot of guys that just like tell you one thing and like kind of lead you on. And I felt so green at like 30. I felt green because I was in my past relationship for 10 years. So he was like my only person I'd ever been with. So I came into dating at 30, like completely oblivious to like what the world is.
The shit show that it is.
So let's be real. Like what she thought was love bombing was just that no one has ever treated her the right way. And she was like, why is this guy not acting like a complete
asshole?
And so that is apparently love bombing.
I just was confused because he was so nice. And then I was like, I called him out the night I met him. Like we kissed and he was like, you know, you could have stayed with me tonight. And I was like, I know I could have stayed with you, but look, you're not from this city.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
I was like, you're not from this city. You're visiting Austin to like party with your friends. I was like, and you are on TV. Like,
what? So many red flags.
I'm like, who do you think I am? Like, you're not getting past
you know what it's like.
Oh, I do. Well, and I feel like sometimes I'll just mention, like, I'll be talking to, well, you know, back in the day, I'll be talking to a girl, or whatever, and I'll mention, like, yeah, I was on The Bachelor. She's like, okay, bye. It's like, okay, you're asked, like, instantly.
Okay, bye.
Like, yeah, it's like instantly. So I get it.
The reality TV people, but like, you got to be a certain breed of human to like actually go through like going on reality TV. So it's a little scary when you like.
Yeah, I agree.
Listen, I'm fucked up from it too. We get fucked up from the reality TV. So totally. Yeah, absolutely. But that's cool. Wow, 9 months, coming up on 9 months. Look at that. All because of Blended Fest. Awesome. Love it. I fucking love it.
Yeah, what's great is that like, although she refuses to watch my season, which I think is a great thing, we watch together, right? We're excited about next season. We're excited about your show.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's gonna be a fun show.
I hope, like you said, I hope it's the beginning of a dynasty, right? I hope this is the new Love is Blind because I'm so pumped up. And I used to watch The Challenge. Like, I was a huge Challenge guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, The Shore and Real World and all the shows. So I hope it's
appreciate that.
Built up to be, man.
I think you guys are gonna enjoy it. I think it's gonna be a lot of laughs and a lot of like just crazy, crazy personality. So I think you'll like it. So yeah, you'll have to let me know the honest opinion of what you
think. Yeah. Yeah,
so. I mean, wild. Just the teaser alone, I was like, I want to watch this now. Like, when can I watch it?
Nuts. It's fucking nuts. So it's a lot. We'll just say it's very different from ABC. Like, let's just say that it's very different from The Bachelorette in Paradise. So it's going to be a good time. So you guys got anything big plans coming up or anything like that? So you got anything on the calendar? Because I mean, Blended Fest Austin is coming back this year. So obviously,
we're going to Banff.
Well, in two weeks,
mm-hmm. and then we're going to San Diego for in August, and then we are going to Blended in Austin.
Yeah, love it.
So we'll have our 1 year reunion.
Yeah, exactly. So that might be the 1 year anniversary time.
Yeah, actually, I think it's on like the 22nd or 23rd,
something like that.
It's also my birthday, so we're doing like all celebrations around.
That's awesome. That'll be cool. We'll definitely help you guys out there for sure. So wait, I can't remember now completely. Are you guys both now in Austin? No, you're, yeah?
Houston.
We're in Houston. Houston.
That's what it was, Houston. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Okay. I remember one of you was in Houston. Yeah. So you were in Austin, but you've come back.
I lived in Austin, moved back to Houston. It was my little break, my little hiatus, and then came back. I was already wanting to move back to Houston and then met Hunter, and it kind of sealed the deal for me. I was like, all right, well, he lives in Houston. I mean, there's no reason to not go back. And my studio opened, they just opened studios in Denver, but the studio I work for opened 2 studios in Houston. So I was one of the founding coaches over here.
Yeah. And I heard you are a hell of a coach. I heard that you kill people out there.
You know what she does? Like, here's the thing. I'm used to working out every day, and I pride myself on being pretty fit. And I go into the first time going into Solid Core, into this, Super Pilates, and it killed me. I was like, I was dead. And it's funny because I think in what you had a class with
Connor
Saley in Austin, and apparently he didn't just breeze through it either.
Nothing funnier than seeing like, what is he, like 6'7", some big ass dude come in and literally lay on the machine halfway through class because he just was like, I can't.
Pilates will humble you real quick. Pilates will humble you. Anybody who thinks like they're
Pilates
in shape
on steroids, man.
I'll have to try it next time I come down in there. I mean, we did a little event in Houston last time we all hung out. I did like a soccer game, but we'll make another appearance for sure, and I'll have to swing in there.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll get a good sequence going for you and Eric over there.
I'll be like, I gotta take this phone call.
I'll be done in the first 30 seconds.
That shit's hard. Well, isn't it crazy, man, Hunter? Like, you look back, you know, like what the show and everything. You probably wouldn't have met her had it not been for the show. No, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Not. So I'll be honest. Like, she's not the biggest fan of some of the things that have come from the show. Right?
Yeah, of course.
But I always have to remind her. I'm like, well, you know, if it weren't for reality TV, we wouldn't be together.
You got that, in the chamber for sure. Like, you know,
talks about it all the time, and we do give Blake semi credit for us meeting, because there would be, if it weren't for him inviting you,
we wouldn't have. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fact that we had extra tickets.
I'm the one who gets the credit here.
Eric does get the credit.
Yeah, and the fact that we had extra tickets, I mean, it just all worked out. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty cool, though. I love it.
Yeah, if I wasn't such a super fan myself, and I didn't fangirl that day.
I recognize it.
Yeah.
Eric pointed out it was me and me.
Yeah, he was walking right by us, and I was like, Blake, that's Connor.
The best part is he goes, that's Hunter and Connor. And I was like,
he was like, no, they're taller.
I'm just playing.
He's like, they're taller. I was like, no, I don't think so, man. That's them.
Taller. No, they're not. Not those ones.
Not those two.
It's not Thomas and Mike P. That's Connor.
Yeah.
Guys, I actually recognized Connor from like memes, like, because my friend and I are big Bachelor fans, but I was on vacation all summer, totally missed Hunter's season, like didn't even watch Katie's season. And I come, and my friend Deidre, who's like my best friend, she's always sending me Bachelor like memes and just like funny shit on Bachelor because we've been fans for so long. And she had been sending me, because I love cats, and so she had been sending me like memes.
Oh yeah, he's a cat.
Yeah, as like cat guy. And like, I talked to Connor before I talked to Hunter, and halfway through talking to Connor, no joke, I was like, oh, wait, this is the cat guy. Like, holy shit.
And poor
like,
Connor. Like, that's what he knows for forever is the cat guy. You know,
her friends literally just call him the cat.
Yeah, like Connor the cat. Like they don't even try to like figure out what his name
is. I'm like, Connor, it could be worse.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true.
You could
true.
Be like the Walmart version of Taylor Lautner. Like there's a lot of Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, I see that actually.
That's good. Actually, I haven't heard that one.
That's funny. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm so glad it worked out. And you guys seem incredibly happy. And Hunter, it's cool to see you happy. And I'm so glad I met you both. And we'll definitely stay in touch. I appreciate you guys coming on. Where can
we'll
everybody
see
you find
in a couple months.
You? On social media and stuff.
My Instagram is at H Montgomery, and I don't even know what my TikTok is anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I think it's H Montgomery 86 or H Montgomery, one of the two. I don't do TikTok as much anymore. I don't do it at all.
It's hard
anymore, actually.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the season? Let me ask you that. Like
the my show or the
no? Are you excited about the double Bachelorette?
So I really am. I'm excited to see what happens because it's never been done. It's, you know, unique and different.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how they handle everything. You know, from what I've heard, they're going to try very hard to make it like a very girl empowering best friends, find to help each other find love. So if it's like that, I think it's got a good shot at like kind of bringing the franchise back a little bit, but if they fuck it up, I think it can irreparably even though it's already kind of on the downslope, like I think this can do some real damage. So it could be a big time win or a big time lose. So we'll see. I'm excited though. I am. I'm pumped. What about you guys? Are you guys excited for the show?
Well, yeah,
being the super fans.
I'm excited. I don't, we were talking about this and I know like I heard Andy's take on it and I've heard other people's takes on it. Noah and I think Abby talked about it on your show a little bit. It doesn't really, so like there's one side of me that's like, what do I think is going to happen? And the other side of me is, what do I think production is going to show happen? Mm-hmm. Because those are generally two different things. I think that what's probably going to happen more so is not necessarily girl versus girl drama, but it'll be put on the guys, right? So it'll end up being the guy is talking to both girls. And instead of them getting mad at each other, maybe they both call out the guy, right? I mean, but yeah. there's
one could hope.
Yeah,
I hope that's the case.
And here's the thing: I feel like even if they do get along.
Sorry, Eric,
what was that?
Well, I said hopefully they do not break these two apart and like damage that friendship.
Well,
like they have a genuine friendship. Mm-hmm. I think they really do like each other, and I think girls have just come a long way in general, right? Like I just feel like I don't know if it's a maturity thing. Maybe I'm just old now, but like, I feel like in general, what I see from women is no longer this like competitive thing anymore. It's more of like, we're in it together. And unfortunately I think for men, it's like, we're
that'll never happen, right? it's production. It's whatever production wants. Even if they get along swimmingly, production can make it look like there is drama if they want. I just can't imagine why they would want to do that at this
point. I mean, either. But I do think we've had some villains in the past, you know what I mean? Like on like huge, huge villains. Like you, I mean, I'm talking about like Chad, like some of the worst villains. But there is a real possibility that we could get one of the worst villains ever on this season, just because if they have him like playing both Bachelorettes or whatever, like that could be so bad for whoever that person is. So
yeah,
it's
going to
be real interesting. Yeah.
I'm not envious. I'm glad I wasn't a part of the experiment.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know if I would want to be on a two Bachelorette season as a contestant. I think that'd be pretty hard, you know. So should be interesting. Should be really interesting. But I am excited for it. And then Paradise right after, from what we've heard, it's going to be pretty wild. Pretty wild.
It's like, what, they're 3 days in? And there's already so much shit going on?
So much shit, man.
I'm very
so
excited.
A lot of flip-flopping.
Something to really look forward to. Like, I feel like the franchise, like, went the right direction, surprisingly, with Paradise. I remember thinking it was a total joke at first, just from, like, you know, the little reel that they play at the beginning. But it's, to me, the most entertaining.
Paradise has become the flag, like, the flagship program for them. Yeah, better than that. But it's going to be interesting because it's late this year. It's in September now instead of, like, August. Yeah, so it's going
to
be interesting.
I'm trying so hard to not... It's hard not to have spoilers, right? When you're friends with
it's impossible.
People. Yeah. So I'm trying to like, when someone tells me something, I'm like, wait, but I didn't,
Yeah.
I don't want to be your friend. I want to be a fan right now. Like, I don't want you to tell me you just got back and you're really tired. Don't.
That's fucking funny. Oh. Well, yeah, I guess we'll see you in a couple months. We'll see you out there in Austin and Blended. Maybe before. You never know. Maybe we never get a gig out in Houston. Yeah, if you guys are ever in Denver, you want a trip to Denver, you just let me know. I got an Airbnb on property. So you just let me know. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys so much. Oh, and what's the name of your Pilates? Let's have people come and you can kill them at Pilates.
So I'm at Solid Core. We just opened one in Rhino in Denver. I think, is that how you say it? Rhino?
Yeah, yeah, Rhino. Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's check that out.
In Denver, tons of them opening up in LA. We're like moving out west. It's pretty fucking awesome.
Cool. Well, yeah, go check out Solid Core, guys. And yeah, appreciate you coming on. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, Blake.
Bye, all righty.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.